Go ahead.
So Dan said there was some overlap between the two talks, and he's right about that. But Jim McClellan used to say that giving presentations are like painting a wall. It usually takes a couple of coats, and some people it never sticks, and you know who you are. So basically, I start off the purpose of the interest in this work is investigating techniques for forming subspaces over acoustic model parameters, and the obvious aspect of that is that we'll form more efficient characterizations of sources of variability by representing these sources of variability in low-dimensional spaces. And so, in the area, say speaker adaptation and speaker verification, there's clear advantages here to forming these subspaces over, describing global variability by forming subspaces over these super vectors, which correspond to concatenated means of continuous Gaussians and HMMs and GMMs. And there's examples in speaker verification go back to the eigenvoice approaches, where they show the advantages of forming these global subspaces, and also extend into speaker verification, where things like joint factor analysis also benefit from these low dimensional subspaces formed over these giant supervectors. So one of the more interesting developments that's occurred recently is this notion of extending these supervector-based techniques to modeling state-level variability. And we do that by forming multiple subspaces, rather than these single subspaces that we'd form for these supervector techniques. And this is the goal of the subspace Gaussian mixture model proposed by Dan in 2010. And what we're doing here is we're doing an experimental study to compare the ASR performance of both of these types of approaches. So I guess it's important to note again that we're forming subspaces over model parameters. And I guess this is a simple example where we form these subspaces over supervectors in a speaker adaptation problem. And so this little example here is we have a population of N speakers, and we're forming, data from each of these N speakers, and I have the little plot in some arbitrary two-dimensional space of the feature vectors for those speakers. We can train mixture models, so we're describing each of these populations of speakers in terms of model parameters, a mixture of Gaussians in a two-dimensional space. And then the idea here is we'll form a one-dimensional subspace that describes variation over these M-dimensional model parameters. In this case, M can be quite large, the concatenation of these mixture vectors. So we can do this forming these speaker-dependent supervectors by concatenating the means of each of these distributions, and then we can identify some sort of a subspace projection by using something like principal components analysis or maximum likelihood clustering based on these dimensional supervectors. Having done that, we can do adaptation now. We'll have some adaptation data. We'll also have a speaker-independent model parameters, which we might have trained for our multi-speaker training data. And then we'll also have our subspace projection matrix that we'll have trained on our supervectors. Then adaptation involves coming up with a vector which describes the position of our model with respect to our data in this low-dimensional space. And so that's basically what these subspace adaptation procedures are when we are defining our subspace over these supervectors. And the good thing about them, in speaker adaptation, is we can we could do adaptation with seconds of speech rather than minutes of speech like you might need when you're doing sort of regression-based adaptation. So that's all well and good, and these things are well known. There we go. There's our model. I forgot about that. So that's all fine. So the idea here behind the subspace GMM is we can extend which do subspace adaptation for a or form subspace models to model sort of global variability to modeling sort of state level variability. Right? And there's a and stop me if you've heard this one, but there's a number of generalizations when we go from the from these super vector based approaches to the subspace GMM. And the first one is, as Dan pointed out, we're forming our state dependent observation probabilities, our state dependent probabilities, in terms of these full covariance Gaussians, this shared pool of full covariance Gaussians. And we call that basically a universal background model, borrowing from the terminology in speaker verification. And so we have on the order of hundreds of these, anywhere from a couple of hundred to 1,000 shared covariance Gaussians that we define our distributions over. The next generalization is that we're forming these subspace projections, one for each of these Gaussians in the pool. And so we'll have multiple projections rather than a single projection, as we would in the speaker space-based approach. And then the final generalization is that we're the state-dependent means and the state-dependent weights are now basically obtained as projections within the subspaces. So the mean vector for the J state and the ith mixture component is obtained from this projection where this M sub I is the, do I have a cursor here? Where the M sub I is the subspace projection matrix, and the V sub J is this state vector that Dan mentioned before. The way we're describing this here is as a offset to the mean of these of the mean of the universal background model, but that's not terribly important. And then the state dependent weights are obtained from weight projection vectors, and that's these W sub I's here. Again, applied to these state-dependent V vectors, and the form of these weights are, they're normalized, so they sum to one. The exponential makes it look vaguely like a multi-class logistic regression, but in fact, I guess as Dan probably pointed out, that this exponential is really important here when it comes to optimizing the objective function in the expectation maximization algorithm. So this is very interesting, and one of the really interesting aspects of it is we've got just a really small number of parameters to represent the states, a single state vector V in this case, whereas in a traditional continuous density HMM, all the parameters are basically state dependent. We just got a big pile of Gaussians. And so these substate matrices and the U is all shared. We can then extend this, more arrows, we could extend this further by adding the notion of substates. Right? We're now, instead of having a single single V vector per state, now we can have any number of them, and that just allows us to play with our parameterization. And so now we have a mixture of a weighted combination of M substate densities per state, and now the means and these weights are now indexed both by substate M and state J. And so the somebody asked something earlier about the number of parameters in the model. The interesting thing is that it's dominated, generally, depending on your parameterization, of course, but you generally have far more shared parameters than you have state-dependent parameters. And the example system that example systems might have, that might be as much as 10 to 1. That's a little bit extreme, but that's not unusual. Okay, so issues of training, we're doing maximum likelihood training with the EM algorithm. If we have no Basically, the maximum likelihood training of these subspace parameters and these state vectors is a really simple, straightforward extension of the case for this global subspace model, where we train these subspaces over supervectors. But what happens is that doesn't work very well when you don't have the weight vectors. Those additional degrees of freedom are important, and so when you add those in, you there's basically an additional component to the EM auxiliary function. You don't have a unique optimum, and so you have to be very careful about how you optimize that auxiliary function. As far as initializing things, you start out initializing the context, the state context for the SGMM by the phonetic context clustered continuous density HMM states. We initialize the means and full covariance matrices, full covariance just using unsupervised GMM training. And rather than initializing the other parameters of the system, we basically initialize the state, the joint state mixture component posteriors with as a product of the state posteriors from our initial CDHMM and the mixture component posteriors from our UBM. So we evaluate basically, we're doing an experimental study to compare the performance of the subspace GMM with the unsupervised subspace adaptation. We're doing that using the resource management database, and we'll acknowledge that that's a fairly small corpus collected under constrained conditions. We have about 4 hours of training and about 100 speakers. The advantage for us, though, is it's not very amenable to various other adaptation approaches. The regression-based adaptation and VTLN and so on don't do much with it. So there isn't the issue of the overlap of the effects we get from the from the adaptation schemes we're doing here with other possible normalization strategies. So the baseline system with 1,700 context-clustered states and about 6 Gaussians per state, which is pretty typical, on this speaker-dependent evaluation task is 4.9%, and that's pretty much in alignment with the state of the art. Another point here about the parameter, the allocation of the SGMM parameters. So for this particular system, we're starting out the continuous density HMM system has about 800,000 parameters. And all of those are basically shared parameters. In the first row of this table, for the single substate per state subspace GMM, roughly 90% of those parameters are shared across all states. We have, the shared parameters correspond to the substate projection matrices and the full covariance Gaussians. And there's about 630K of those, but only about 60K of the state-dependent parameters which correspond to these V vectors. So overall, for that particular system, we have a smaller number of parameters as we do for the continuous density HMM. But for all of the parameterizations, they're not that much different than the continuous density HMM. And no matter what the parameterization is, in our case, it tends to be heavily biased towards the number of parameters in our shared system. So the word error rate we've gotten here is we can, I basically repeated this 4.9% word error rate we got from the baseline continuous density HMM. For the subspace GMM, the best performance that we got was 3.99%, so that's about a 20% improvement, which is pretty substantial and agrees, I guess, with Dan's comment that when you have a small amount of data, your level of improvement is about 20%. The second and third row describe, basically compare different means of initializations, and this scheme for initializing the posterior probabilities of the SGMM gave us some small but statistically significant improvement in performance over a flat start for this data. Then the comparison of the SGMM with the supervector adaptation approaches, which have become, well, which are fairly well known these days. Basically what we did is estimated a subspace projection matrix E here, which is defined over the supervectors of our continuous density HMM. That's the M in that first equation. And then during adaptation, we'll estimate this U vector, speaker-dependent U vector, from a single unlabeled or untranscribed test utterance. And so we have basically the subspace dimension there is 20. What we found is we got about a 10%, 7 or 8, or I guess that's a 9 or 10% improvement in performance from this supervector-based adaptation, which is not as big as we got from the SGMM. We've also on this corpus tried the speaker throwing in the speaker subspace with the SGMM model. We didn't get a really statistically significant improvement from that. I would suspect that the additional degrees of freedom in the speaker-dependent weights described in Dan's earlier talk might have an impact on that. How am I doing? Am I done? No, I still got 2 minutes.
That's okay.
Okay. you gave me a look. So this last slide is an anecdotal example of the distribution of the substate projection vectors, or the first two dimensions of those substate projection vectors. In this case, for Spanish language call home corpus, or from an SGMM trained from the Spanish language call home corpus. And so we have these. Basically, we've restricted this plot to sort of a scatter diagram here of the center states of the five Spanish vowels, with these labels in the center indicating sort of the location of the cluster centroids. And this is very similar to a plot that Lucas Burgett and Peter Schwartz did on the English language corpus. And basically, the thing I found that was really interesting about this is you see this very nice clustering of the state-dependent vectors for the different vowels. That's something you just don't see in a continuous density HMM, right? You get you certainly can't look at the means of the densities in a continuous density HMM and see any kind of visible structure there. So this is a very interesting thing, how this structure is sort of discovered automatically from the SGMM and suggests that there really are some other interesting uses of the thing. So to summarize here, I guess I'm out of time. We got this rather substantial, did I say 18% before? Oh, it's getting poorer. So before we got 19%, and by the end of the talk, I got an 18% reduction in word error rate compared to the CDHMM. And basically it did better than the unsupervised subspace-based speaker adaptation. And this sort of general comment that it's very interesting, and it's more an anecdotal comment, that these state-level parameters seem to uncover, depict a underlying structure in the data. So this is somehow take advantage of this interesting structure. We've started looking at how in a speech therapy application can be done by exploiting sort of this consistent structure we see in terms of describing the phonetic variability. And also, like a number of other people I've talked to here at the conference, looking at multilingual acoustic modeling applications.
Thank you very much. Questions?
I think we've probably similar to right, the flat start, I believe we initialize the M vectors to the first column of the M vectors to the means of the UBM, and the V vectors were initialized to unity.
Well, more questions? No, in that case, this concludes our session. Thank you very much for the participation, and thank you also for a great presentation.